It's been a long week. Grab a beer and sit back. It's Brew Talk time. Here's Tanner Chad and the Brew Doctor himself, Dr. Michael Mosier.
Good Wednesday evening, Northern Colorado. Welcome in to Brew Talk. We got a fun one here tonight. A lot to get to. A couple big news stories in the beer world, in the beer industry. And as I'm sitting here, I just got a text from a buddy of mine that I hardly ever talk to. And now he's gonna give me crap. But he said, "Don't tell anybody, but I'm hooked on Black Cherry White Claws." So I don't know where. I know right off the bat. So, all right. Well, there's some more breaking news, is that I have a friend that loves White Claws that would not normally be a White Claw drinker. I am Tanner Schwint. Thanks for being with us inside of the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Chad Young, owner of the tavern at St. Michael's Square. Chadley, you had a very busy weekend. Congratulations to Trey and Wilson and to, of course, you and your wife, Wendy, for a couple of graduations from colleges.
We had a busy graduation weekend. We had one in South Dakota at 9 a.m. on Saturday, and then one here in Greeley at 1:30 on Saturday.
Oh, so, what I wanted to know, because you guys split up, right?
We did, yep.
How was that decided?
Because it's Mother's Day weekend and we have the restaurant, pretty much was locked in here.
You were stuck with Wilson?
Stuck with the restaurant. Stuck with the restaurant. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, okay. No, it was awesome to see all these college graduations and just seeing the caps and gowns again. We didn't see that last year.
Yeah.
Unless they were on Zoom. How was the weekend for the tavern?
It was good, yeah. Mother's Day, we had a great Mother's Day. We made it all the way through and nobody cried. Guests and employees
none of
included.
Your staff?
Yeah.
So Brett didn't cry?
That could be a first. That could be the first Mother's Day. We didn't have any tears inside the tavern.
And if there were tears, was it happy tears or there were no tears at all?
I don't know. Just sometimes people. So Mother's Day is what we call one of those amateur eat out days. Uh-huh. So it's a lot of people that don't normally go and eat out,
right?
Expecting a lot of things that don't normally happen in a restaurant. So sometimes they can be not very nice, even though they're sitting right next to their mother, trying to celebrate their mother. And,
oh, this is for you, Mom. Yeah. That's why I'm yelling.
I'm going to be a jerk and yell at this 18-year-old just to show you how much I love you.
Yeah, I see. It sounds like pretty sound logic to me.
I'm glad it didn't happen.
And for the record, I'm not the friend who likes White Claws.
Yeah, no, you're not. You are not.
I still don't like White Claws.
I didn't think that had changed yet. Dr. Michael Mosier, UNC Brewing and Laboratory Sciences, Broken Plow Brewery as well. How was your weekend? How was the plow?
Busy. Had some good music on Friday, and Saturday just kept on doing the same, more of the same, a couple graduation parties and stuff like that. So
Love it.
Us quite busy. Getting ready to do some repainting inside, so we're not changing our business hours or anything. We're just going to be doing the painting when nobody else is around. So
there you go. That's the way to get it done. Yep. And you've got more live music coming up this Friday, right? You got some beer releases coming soon?
Yes. I got two sours on deck. One should be up within the next couple days. The next one following that. Have a coconut porter, a coconut vanilla porter that's getting ready to be released too. So tons of really cool stuff that we're doing there and moving forward.
I love it. Check out the Broken Plow and the Tavern at St. Michael Square. Quick programming note for us. We will be live this Saturday at the Shine Shop here in Greeley. That's on West 10th Street. We'll be doing a one-hour show from 2 to 3. I urge y'all to come down to the Shine Shop. It's supposed to be, the weather's supposed to be nicer, right?
From
what it was earlier this week and last weekend. But come down and check it out. We'll be there from 2 to 3. They're releasing, they're going to start having barbecue, cooked barbecue, smoked barbecue, whatever the correct term is.
It's better than raw barbecue.
It is better. Yeah, that is better than raw barbecue. They'll have that to go with all of the other great menu items, that their drinks, their signature cocktails. You guys got to try the agave tequila with me again, just to make sure. Yeah, you guys are down. We're gonna get a ride for sure, because we do. You know, when we do our brew hop stops and 1 hour shows, drinking beer compared to what we're gonna be drinking on Saturday, that's gonna be a little bit of a different story.
It is, yeah.
I mean, if all else fails, Uber can take me home.
That's true. It's going to be a good time. It's going to be a blast this Saturday, the 15th at 2 p.m. Make sure you stop by and join us at the Shine Shop. Also, our brew hop stop is Mighty River Brewing. And so I want to say thanks to Dan Miller. And they've got all sorts of specials going on at Mighty River Brewing as well. All right. So I think that kind of clears up some of the busy work.
Introductions
of what's going on. Let's talk about a story that actually kind of blew my mind when I saw it. We've talked about how difficult it was going to be for new breweries to open up in the middle of the pandemic. We saw Peculiar Ales do this last year. Peculiar Ales is not even 1 year old, and Nick Armitage is pulling the trigger, and he has bought the old CB and Potts location in Fort Collins, and Peculiar will be expanding to two locations. Fellas, that's risky, but it's great to see, right? It's positive. There's growth going on. What are your initial thoughts on that?
Well, for me, it's a nice pat on the back that, hey, you know what? We've got a brewery that's really working well. People are loving it. They like it, but let's move to another market and hit people that wouldn't necessarily come all the way out to Windsor.
Yeah. Right.
And, hey, why not? Now's a perfect time to get in and get your, you know, get all the bugs worked out before everything goes back 150%.
Right. Money's still pretty cheap.
Obviously, they're doing something right because people love going there, and that gives them the opportunity to do this. Mm-hmm. And we all know that Fort Collins is a great beer town, so, you know, why not?
Yeah.
Money is cheap right now, so this is a good time to expand and do things like that.
Right, especially with things looking continually optimistic about the vaccine rollout, about where our numbers are going and where we're headed with COVID-19. Really look good on that front. So, still kind of crazy to me, right? I mean, this is early for an expansion.
It is.
It's extremely early for it.
Well, and it's not just a tap room. There's a restaurant involved, too. So I'm interested to see what they do with that and how they handle all that. And
unless they're moving, like, production there with canning and stuff like that.
They are going to. Yes. I'll pull it up. But when I was talking about it earlier this morning, that was one thing that they did say, that their production facility will be going there as well. So that could take up part of the space.
Yeah, right. And then you just have a large tap room without a kitchen.
Without a kitchen.
And that could be their model. Be that as it may, expanding right now is an excellent time to do that. Now's the time to get in and get all the bugs worked out, get everything done while the money is cheap, and now you're waiting for the customers to come back, and that could actually be a wonderful move for them.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing it. And again, it's an aggressive move, but I love it. I mean, and when what we've talked with Nick Armitage, that really doesn't surprise me too much at all, that he's going to pull that trigger that quickly, right? He seems kind of like that aggressor, but also it talks about the beer that he brews, right? That's very much. It's a lot of I don't know what word I'm looking for. Maybe entry level, easy drinkers. There's people who maybe aren't craft beer lovers that can still go to Peculiar and still find something that they like to drink there. I think that plays a little bit of a factor in there as well, right?
Well, of course it does. If you're a new drinker or new person interested in craft beer, having the accessibility of a wide variety of things that aren't too over the top. Really is a great way to go, and that brings in more people, and they'll bring in more people, et cetera, et cetera.
I'm trying to get it kicked me out for some reason of this story, so I'm trying to guess my password now as we're going along here.
Oh, jeez. Good luck.
I know. Remind me again of where is the old CB and Potts location at over in Fort Collins? Do we remember that?
It's in Fort Collins.
Yeah.
That's in Colorado. I know that.
That is.
I think it's off of Shields, is it not?
It is off of Mulberry.
And Shields?
Maybe. The brewery has signed a lease for the former CB and Potts tap room and brewing facility at 1831 East Mulberry Street. and plans to open a new Peculiar Ales location this summer.
I don't know where it is.
It's in Fort Collins.
It's in Fort Collins.
The new Fort Collins space will serve as a second location, allowing the brewery to open a Fort Collins tap room and help it expand its brewing operations by adding 3,000 square feet of additional beer production space, Armitage said. So it sounds like they're moving most of that over there. Peculiar Ales, here's a stat for you, is on track to produce 1,200 barrels of beer in its first year.
Oh, my.
So they can't keep up with the demand, so that's where they're headed that way as well. This is by Aaron Udell out of the Fort Collins, Colorado. And so good for Nick Armitage and good for the brewing industry and to get over into Fort Collins.
And 1,200 barrels in the first year
is pretty good.
That's insane.
Well, and they're on pace to do that. And who knows, with things opening back up, they very well could break that as well going forward. But we'll find out. We're talking about some of the beer news as well, and I had another one that has completely slipped my mind. What did I tell you guys pre-show that we wanted to talk about?
You expect us to remember?
Yeah. I've had a sip of
Come on,
beer.
Tanner.
Oh, the That's Odell's Winery. Oh. The Odell's Winery. There you go. That's what it was.
We knew you'd get it.
Thank you guys so much for having that and having my back there. You're listening to Brew Talk Radio. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. And so this Odell's Winery now is opening up. And, Chad, you've heard of their wine. I mean, I think they've already been.
Yeah, we've actually tasted some. Somebody brought – I think a rep brought some in, and we had a little taste, and it's actually, for wine in a can, isn't too bad.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting transition, but their name recognition alone, right, their brand recognition, Doc, talk to me about how much, you know, that's going to help, you know, sell wine, because it's so big still.
Well, I mean, yeah, I don't know if I mean, would I go to Ford to buy candy bars? Just because the name is there, that doesn't mean that's what I would choose. But that's just me. When I think Odell's, I think amazing 90 shilling and, you know, St. Lupulin and all those other kinds of beers that they have are the ones that I can think of. I don't necessarily associate them. If they came out with a seltzer, I wouldn't associate them with the seltzer either. So, however... if they do as good of a job with their wine as they do with their beer, it's going to be over the top, and this is going to be a great thing.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see with the winery opening up. So it's going to open up right across the street from the brewery, where you'll be able to order wine there and work your way through it. It says here on their website, we are in pursuit of uniquely balanced flavors that showcase what a little beer geek turned wine geek creativity can do. Unbound by geography, agriculture, or imagination, the OBC Wine Project is our fresh take on a centuries-old tradition. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how well they do and how it's received.
The good news is that brewing beer and fermenting must or grapes is pretty similar for part of the process. And so... if you've got one of those processes down really, really well, it translates quite well to the other.
Yeah.
So it does. This could be a great thing.
The grand opening was today, actually. The grand opening was today, so of their new winery.
We should have done a remote.
I know, right?
I'm not a big wine guy, as we've talked about. I like whining, but I don't like drinking wine. That is the beer news. We're going to be doing sours here coming up. We got Beer 30. But when we come back on the other side, we are going to talk about staff shortages. Why in the world is everybody right now dealing with staff shortages? Let's discuss on the other side. It's Brew Talk Radio right here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
Talk here on 1310 KFK. Thanks for being with us on this Wednesday evening. What are you learning over there, Doc?
I'm learning about what I'm drinking.
What are you drinking?
I'm drinking a Made Here American Ale, courtesy of Chad.
I love the artwork on that.
I like
actually.
The artwork on it, too. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, this is a new one we just got in. Good Times Made Here Brewing Company.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought I'd bring a couple
out
in.
Out of Denver?
Out of Denver.
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard. This is my first sip.
Yeah, we just got it in, so I thought I'd bring a couple in to try it and see what it's like.
It's vague, but I like it. Like, it's very simplistic.
Yeah.
Very simplistic. What do you think on your first couple sips?
It's good. It's got an interesting hop in it.
That pause always cracks me up.
Well, that first sip, because we had after the previous beer we were drinking, they're two very different beers.
So it's taking a minute.
It takes a minute to kind of get your palate to switch over.
It's nice. So. It's got, like I said, it has an interesting hop that I can't put my finger on what the hop is. But it's actually quite good.
Yeah, it's like a nice pale, American pale.
Mm-hmm. Well, it'll be great to just I'm going to pour the rest in here. Well, guys, let's talk about this. You have another beer left. Let's talk about this. This staff shortage around the country right now. And it doesn't seem that it's picking a certain...
it's insane.
It's not picking a certain industry to hit, but restaurants and breweries have been hit especially hard because had to lay everybody off last year. Let's just kind of open this up for a little bit of a roundtable conversation about why, first of all, we think it's going on, ways that you can combat it, and what the response has been from people visiting your location. I know you guys are still, I believe, Chad, you're still looking for waiters and waitresses, or did you feel that?
We've hired a few. We still could use a couple more.
Yeah. So as you guys see this and you're seeing the people apply, things like that, just walk us through what you're seeing and the responses you're getting from some of these people, because the online arguments are starting to go crazy about why this, why that, why that. So what are you guys seeing up close and personal?
We can't put it on the internet if it's not true, Tanner.
You can. I've lied on there once.
Oh, okay.
Just to test the theory.
So it's already, even before everything happened, restaurants and breweries had a very small pool of...
I got the weird hop, sorry.
Yeah.
I got the weird hop right off the bat. I totally distracted you. Okay, go ahead.
There was a small pool of employees to draw from for restaurants to begin with. There's been a kitchen shortage for trained chefs and line cooks and things like that for years. Now, when you shut everybody down, then that kind of lays everybody off, and you know, some places kept the key people. But then now all of a sudden... you open everything back up again. Now everybody's hiring.
Right.
And it's everybody's trying to draw from that very small pool we were already struggling with before, I think is one reason.
Yeah.
Number two, I think with, you know, people are still a little uncertain on whether or not they want to come out to a restaurant and work around a lot of people, I think, is another thing. And then you see people, you know, we see it all over social media about people berating people for just doing their jobs, but
right.
You know, whatever the requirements are at your store, you know, we see it at grocery stores or Target or, you know, 18-year-old hostesses at restaurants getting berated by 60-year-olds because they don't want to follow the rules at whatever their state's in. And I think that plays a role into it, too, for restaurants anyway.
And I wonder how many people that were laid off or let go for a little bit decided, you know, I'm kind of done with that industry. I'm going to go try something else that's maybe a little bit more stable.
Yeah. I like that point. The other one that I was going to make, too, is that for a lot of those people who are working in those industries, when they got laid off, they were making more on unemployment. I mean, that than what they were doing when it was at 50% capacity or whatever the case may be, and they stuck with it and said, well, why would I go back to work? That incentive, I don't think, really has been there because between the stimulus checks, between the unemployment, stuff like that. Now, I'm not saying for everybody. Don't get me wrong. But that I think that's got to play a role in at least some of them as well, saying,
sure.
Well, what the hell is my incentive? I'm making more sitting here, you know, not doing as much than to go back to work. And you're right. It's a profession that It sucks. I mean, to be a waiter or waitress, at least for some people.
The hospitality sector is kind of like that. You have to interact with people
who can be a-holes.
Who can be everything from happy and glad to see you to upset about some other situation to not expecting more service than they're getting, right, et cetera. And that can really, grate on somebody.
Well, now I feel bad. I shouldn't say that it sucks because I think there's a lot of positives that come along with it.
It's not an easy industry to work in. No. It's long hours. You work in at times when other people aren't working, so nights, weekends, holidays a lot of the times. Long hours on your feet in hot kitchens, hot running around a lot, or cold kitchens and freezers.
Let's face it, cleaning up after people is never fun to do.
No, right.
So, I mean, they really do earn their tips.
Well, that's the good thing.
The tip money can actually really make that position a very beneficial position.
Yeah, there are some servers that make, six figures in some places.
That's right.
Yeah, but then if you get those a-holes and you bust your butt for them and then, you get a 5% tip in there, then there's a lot of variability. So I think that comes into play as well. I want to actually bring Ryan in here, if you don't mind, Ryan. Ryan Kelly, our producer back there. He was a waiter before this happened, working at a chain here in Greeley, and just kind of starting to pick up more hours again. Ryan, what was that like going from, working pretty consistently in there for 3-4 months, you had nothing, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we went from, obviously, full, entirely staffed dining room and bar to doing just takeout. Mm-hmm. And they only kept about 10 to 15 of us just to run that whole entire place. Everyone else was gone.
Wow.
I was making good money before the pandemic.
Yeah. So what was your reasoning? Why did you decide? Because obviously you're taking on more of a role here with KFK and growing in that as well. When did you know, okay, I'm ready to go back there? Because I know you have your concerns about the virus still, things like that. Why was it the right time for you to start going back and picking up more shifts?
Well, I had COVID back in February. I've gone vaccinated, etc., all that good stuff. I'm not necessarily, when I go there, I'm like, oh, I'm afraid I'm going to get COVID here, but it's just a matter of, like you said, dealing with the people. And, we had the mask mandate in place in our restaurant. We had to turn people away. That is no longer a thing. We have no really sense of distancing when it comes to the bar rail and all of our tables and booths and everything like that. So it's really opened up a lot better, and I am hopeful and optimistic for the following months and what's going to take place.
Yeah.
It's because I think really COVID is done in the U.S. in a lot of respects.
Yeah. Let me ask you one last question here, and then I promise I won't make you talk anymore. with what are you hearing from some of your colleagues? I'm sure you've had some colleagues that haven't gone back. Have you heard about why, or what's the general sense? And now I know that this is a specific restaurant here in Greeley, right? But you're living what we're talking about. So tell us what's been the response from some of your colleagues.
Well, I have some people that are they've gone fully vaccinated. They're whatever. They're back. They're doing fine. Everyone's happy to be making money because we just work. We have a really good team, I think, and we work together really well. All that good stuff. But then I also have some people that are not so ready, or they're I have a manager, for instance, who is she's there constantly. She's very good about wearing her mask, but she does not want to get vaccinated, which is understandable. I'm not going to force anyone to do that, but just a matter of health and safety for herself. Right. It's kind of like that thing.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Ryan Kelly.
You're very welcome.
Appreciate it. Appreciate that inside look. What have you guys heard? I mean, because I know, like you said, you're just going through the hiring process. Chad, I know for a fact, that you had people that went off and did not come back. What was kind of the main thing? And I'm sure it plays in a little bit about what we talked about earlier, but what was the main thing for what you heard?
Well, a lot of the people that chose not to come back, most of them went and found other jobs, other places that actually had space and room for them to actually come in and get some hours. When we were, I think for a year there, we were up and down. We were, no employees to, then we brought everybody back, and then we went back to half employees because the capacity changed again, and then we went to, shut down again. So I think a lot of it was so up and down. A lot of those, the people that chose to go find something somewhere else, they wanted something that was more stable, consistent. More steady and consistent mm-hmm. to where they could, they could count and make sure that rent was getting paid and they had something to pay for their groceries and their telephones and all that.
Well, and I'm hoping that, now that school is out, we start seeing more of the entry level people coming into this hospitality career as they're graduating, whether it's high school or college or something like that. Now they're looking for positions. They've never had that unemployment kind of thing, or they've never gone from the hire to the fire kind of thing. And this might be an improvement over the next month or so.
Yeah, interesting you said that, because right after finals ended this last week, we saw an uptick in our applications for our server positions.
Really? So. Yeah, that is interesting. So what's the solution? I mean, is it just going to take time? Or what in the service and hospitality industry, what can be done to incentivize employees outside of just making it a fun work environment as well? Like, not being an a-hole as an owner can also help that.
Well, I think you're going to see a lot of different things. I think a lot of the fast food places, and we kind of saw this before everything happened, but you're going to see fast food places go to more automation mm-hmm. to where it's, mm-hmm. click screen ordering and you won't be helped at the counter anymore. You'll see, McDonald's and places
Wally's
like that.
Wally's going to bring my meal out?
It very well could be. And, mm-hmm. We laugh, but I've seen videos of where they're testing things like that, where I think it was a bar in somewhere in Europe that had a robot that with the drinks on top. It went to the bar. The bartender put the drinks on the head of the robot, which is essentially a serving tray, and it wheeled out to the table, and you grabbed your drink off the tray.
That's nice. So,
yeah, and I've seen the same thing with delivery drivers and things like that, where they're absolutely. Starting to come up with automated vehicles for like pizza delivery. I think you've seen the ads for Domino's and stuff like that. So, yeah, there's they're starting to go away from a lot of the people and move towards more automation. And I think that just makes more jobs available for people, running the industry without the automation.
Yeah. And I think they're, in fact, or to the point of trying to lure more people in, I think you're going to see a lot of the bigger chains start offering more benefits at some point to where, normally in this industry, there's not a lot of places you go that offer.
I thought a pat on the back is not good enough for a benefit.
Not for everybody. Oh. But I think you'll see, more insurance options. You'll see, 401k options. You'll see things like that from the places that can afford to do that.
Yeah.
And that'll, just make it harder for some of the small guys.
Yeah.
Well, staff shortages in the hospitality world, it's definitely a problem. We'll probably continue to linger. And if you're looking for a job, I know these two men right here are always looking to hire as well. So check them out. And I promise they're not that. They're just mean to me. They're not mean to everybody. let's take a break. When we come back on the other side, it's beer 30 time. We've got sours to try right here on Brew Talk on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Hear Mornings with Gail, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Feeling it.
I know. I love that kind of music.
We are in the middle of Beer 30 here, of course, on this Wednesday evening. Did you bring this one in?
I sure did.
Let's get started. We're doing sours, by the way. We're going to talk a little bit about history and food pairings and stuff like that as we go along.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry. He ducks mad at me. Chad, what time is it?
It's beer 30, Tanner.
It is beer 30.
Thanks.
I just got yelled at by Doc here. Okay.
I was going to ask.
The
what time
doctor
is
himself has enough. He's had enough. Tell me about your damn beer.
Yeah. This one is from Loveland Ale Works. This is a strawberry rhubarb American sour ale. Love the can. Their label says, death to kettle sours. Just kidding. We love this stuff. Our strawberry rhubarb American sour ale marries the tartness of rhubarb with the sweetness of strawberries. This beer is super tart up front, but gives way to mouthwatering sweet finish. I just happen to like that saying. So.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one.
It's 5.6 ABV.
All right.
You look like you had a smart alecky comment
I
to
did.
Say over there.
I did, but it was not FCC approved, so I didn't say it. All right, Loveland Ale Works. Let's dive into this right off the bat. That nose is very prominent.
It is. It's sour.
It has kind of an orangey, reddish orangish,
like a peach color.
Peach color, and the head is kind of pinkish color. So
classic combination of strawberry and rhubarbs. You see it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
In a lot of desserts. So while we're looking for things to pair,
dessert,
you know, I think this is a great dessert beer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
With some vanilla ice cream,
yeah,
this
absolutely
would be perfect. It's
got a pretty good sour factor.
It's
on
got
it
a good sour, yeah, a good tartness to it. It's very crystal clear. And I actually really enjoy this one. The strawberry really shines through. The rhubarb comes through in the back notes for me.
Yeah. I get the rhubarb in the back as well, and the strawberry just really kind of balances it out.
Sorry, that sour stuff got me there for a second. I'm like, I was really focusing on that too, and then I coughed.
I think we know what Tanner thinks of it.
No, yeah. No, that's not indicative of what this is here.
But this is the time of year when a sour ale just sort of gets your mouth all watering and, you know, welcome in the warm weather, that kind of stuff.
It's a really smooth transition from the strawberry to the rhubarb, though.
Mm-hmm.
It's not blatant. Like, it's a pretty gradual,
I think that's why people put them in a pie together, don't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Because they kind of really pair well together.
Yeah, no, that one worked out really well. So you said vanilla ice cream. What else would you pair this with?
You want something that's pretty neutral flavored, so I think, or, you know, something that's going to cut into that tartness a little bit. So, you know, a cheesecake, I think, would be great, or something like a creme brulee that's nice and rich and creamy that's going to cut into that sour just a little bit.
I like it. Now I'm hungry. all right, guys. Well, should we get into the ratings on this? So do we feel comfortable? Feel like we've got
confident. I'm pretty confident in my number.
Okay.
Here.
All right. Doc, well, it's your beer. Let's hear it.
So I actually really like this one. It's a little tart, a little bit more tart than I would prefer, but I'm going to go with a 9 on this one.
Okay. Yeah. I definitely enjoy this as well. You know, the sour factor on it's a little high for me still, but not bad at all. I think that's very much a drinkable beer. With that being said, I'm going to go with an 8.8 on this one. 8.8.
I'm going to follow suit with Doc and go with a 9. I think this is a great beer. I love what Loveland Ale Works does with their sours. This is another great example.
And that does make it BrewTalk approved.
Excelente.
We did Mexican beers last week, Ryan. What are you doing, my guy? All right, let's get into this next beer here. I'm just randomly picking away at these. This is Oscar Blues, correct, Chad?
It is. This is the Guava Rodeo.
Their rodeo,
or is it rodeo?
Rodeo, depending on what part of the country you come from. It's a sour ale with guava, tangerine, and other natural flavors. I'm not sure what the other flavors are, but we'll find out here real soon.
That nose is interesting.
Is it guava-y?
It's very guava-y.
Is it? It's pretty. My nose is not picking it up incredibly well.
The guava?
No, not really.
Oh, that's quite sour.
Oh, yes, it is.
That's an interesting.
It's a different sour than the rhubarb, though.
Can you make that noise into the?
That's what you do when something's sour, right?
It definitely has the pucker power on this one. The beer is kind of a golden hazy color with a an off-white head in it. It actually looks really good in the glass. The nose is kind of different, but it's guava.
Yeah.
And it actually does sort of work. It's the tartness has got me at a loss for words, though.
It's interesting. It is interesting on it. I don't get much on the nose, and then, and I need to get to the third drink here. But I didn't get much of the pucker that you guys are getting on it.
Mm. So I think the other one was a little tartar. Not tartar. Or tartar sauce.
Well, you know, tartar might go good with that beer.
It's not tart. It's Tangay.
It's not bad. This beer's not bad. It's not necessarily what I would call good, though.
I'm thinking the guava comes out in your third or fourth sip. You can really taste the guava.
Yeah, you really get it.
And then I'm thinking it's not guava rodeo. It's guava rodeo.
Rodeo.
It's got a weird... What's the ABV on this?
6%.
See, I'm getting that warmth back here that I'm way off than you guys on this one. I don't know why I'm getting everything that's different right now, but I'm getting like almost an alcohol burn back here for some reason on it. I can't. That's what
And that to me, I get that it's kind of heartburny, but that's what happens when I drink a lot of sours. I kind of get the heartburn feeling,
So
I don't know if that's what you're feeling.
It could be.
But it's also, it's a different kind of sour than the other one that we just had.
Yeah.
Which is a very typical kind of kettle sour flavor with the lactobacillus that they use. And I don't know what they use to make this particular one.
I don't either.
But it's a much, I think, harsher sour.
And it's almost, it almost tastes like dry. Like, to me, at least a little bit, like a dry champagne type of feel.
Yeah, you're getting that, and then with that dryness is where I get the guava flavor.
Mm-hmm, yeah, mm-hmm. Yep. All right, let's get into the ratings here as we do the Oscar Blues Guava Rodeo. That's what we're going to call that one. It's a rodeo out there.
So the rodeo.
Yeah. Chad?
I'm going to go with the 7.5 on this. Not a bad beer, but I think in a different league than... The previous one we just tried.
I'm going to have to agree. This is, for me, a 7.75. Pretty close to being what I would say is I'd order a second one, but I'm just not quite there.
I'm going to split the gap here. I'm going 7.6 on this. I echo everything that you say there. There's just nothing about that beer that stands out. Nothing necessarily incredibly wrong with it, but nothing to push it over the hump.
Yeah, not very memorable. Yeah.
That beer is not BrewTalk approved.
Come on, man.
Fantastic. All right, let's get to the Sour Monkey. So you brought in a victory beer a couple weeks ago, right?
We did.
Good company.
Was it Trappel's? Were we doing Trappel's?
Yeah. Maybe it was Trappel, because this is another one here. But the artwork on their cans, I really do love this. So this is Victory. This is the Sour Monkey Sour Trappel. So we're going 9.5% ABV this one. So it's got a monkey
fill the glass.
This and Colorado. So there's a monkey covering its eyes, its ears. Look, it's the same thing. Hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil. But he's got his tongue out, and it's green for the Sour Monkey, the Sour Trappel. Tastefully tart, mystical flavors, fruity notes from imported Belgian yeast swirl through a precise souring. You okay, Chad?
Yeah, I'm just belching.
Oh, I'm
trying not to do it into the microphone.
Thank you.
Pucker, thanks for pointing it out.
I thought you smelled it and then pulled it away. I thought we were in trouble here.
No.
Pucker up to a bite of citrus-laden tang, ending with a delectable experience. It's a Pilsner... Tetnang is the hop on it. Bill and Ron are the brewmaster's approval, so thanks, Bill and Ron. Again, 9.5%. This is Victory's Sour Monkey, Sour Trappel.
Boy, for 9.5%, it doesn't...
It tastes like water.
Yeah.
I mean, alcohol-wise, there's really no...
There's no burn. Not at all. That is weird. We're all perplexed. You hear it go quiet for a second. We're all very confused.
I'm wondering what the sour flavor were supposed to be.
Me too. This one, because I've been doing it with the others, is a bright beer, perfectly clear. A light yellow straw color and an off-white head on it as well. So
I'm getting a little bit of that tang, though. Are you guys getting that at the
end?
Yeah, at the end. It's a delayed reaction.
It is.
But it's there.
I'm getting the tetanang, the hops on the nose. A little bit of that on the nose.
It is. Yeah, you get the hops. I like it.
Yeah, for a 9% beer, this is very drinkable.
Yeah. Almost scary drink.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
9.5% on this bad boy.
To where if you didn't know and you sat down and drank the whole can,
right,
you'd stand up and go, whoa, wait a minute, what happened?
What's the ABV
on that? I'm still trying to figure out what the flavor is.
Is Tang not a flavor? That's what they're
shooting
for.
I don't know. Tang is the space drink that astronauts.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that's what this is?
No.
No.
Oh.
Otherwise, we'd have drunk astronauts.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Kind of. Whoa, I'm weightless.
Let's keep a couple sober ones. But, yeah. Thoughts here. More thoughts? Any thoughts? Any words? Got anything, fellas?
I'm still trying to figure it out.
That was number three. And I am now starting to get a little bit of the citrusy notes that they're talking about.
All right. I'll tell you what. Let's buy ourselves some time. We're going to ice the kicker. We're going to call timeout here. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We will give our rating for the victory. Sour Monkey, Sour Trapel, Beer 30. We're going to overtime. It's right here on Brew Talk on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFK. All the getting's good, they'll make the most until the money's gone. They're coming out to celebrate, to sing and dance and to escape a crazy world where everything seems wrong. Drinking to forget and to remember all the glory days.
The Power Trip, weekdays at 11 on 1310 KFKA.
Just a couple minutes left. All right. The Victory Sour Monkeys Sour Trapel. It was confusing. We had to take a timeout to figure out what we were going to rate it. I'm going to go first. I brought it in. This is my favorite sour on the table so far. With that being said, I'm going with a 9.1 on this bad boy.
Ooh. Big score.
I know.
Big score.
I did enjoy that.
I think it's not a bad beer. I'm not going quite as high as you. I'm going with an 8.
All right.
Huh. You guys both like this one. For me, I just couldn't find the point inside it. So for me, I didn't care for it much. I hate to say this, but I'm going to go with a 7.5.
7.5. That does average out to an 8, which does make it Brew Talk approved.
Jerry, have a shot.
I have a shot.
Do you have a shot?
I have a shot.
Mary, have a shot.
I have a shot.
Stacey, have a shot.
I have a shot.
JB, have a shot.
Well, and I hope my math was right. Right? But a 9 and an 8.
9 and 8.
That's your show. You're going to make the math work if you want to.
That's perfect. It worked. All right, real quick, this last one here. Introduce it real quick, Doc.
So this comes from Epic Brewing. This is their sour, tart, juicy, and sour IPA. It is 5.1% ABV.
I've got heartburn, by the way, with all these that we're drinking.
This one is golden in color. There's not much head on it, but very brilliant, bright beer.
Pretty hoppy for a sour.
And a wonderful nose.
It is a sour IPA.
Yeah. Right.
A wonderful nose on it. I think it just really smells great.
I've had this before, and I really enjoy this beer a lot.
Mm-hmm. It's a nice balance between the two, between an IPA and a sour beer. I enjoy it as well. Doc, you brought it in. Let's go.
So if I have to give it a rating, I'm going to say an 8. I'd have a second one of these.
I'm going to go just a bit higher at 8.5, but I really enjoy it.
I'm going 8.3 on this one, which does make it BrewTech approved.
Excellent.
All right, fellas, that'll do it for sour beers as we start to wrap up this edition of Brew Talk Radio. Congrats to Nick Armitage and Peculiar Ales for their edition as well. Make sure you check out Mighty River Brewing. They are our brew hop stop here in the month of May. And don't forget, come join us on May 15th. That's this Saturday, 2 o'clock at the Shine Shop. We'll be out there. Rumor on the street is Doc will buy you a drink. I don't know, though. I'm just saying there's a rumor out there. I don't know who started it. It maybe definitely was me. For Chad Young, for Dr. Mosier. No, you don't get a chance to deny it. For Ryan Kelly, I am Tanner Schwint. Thanks for being with us. Nick's Snacks coming up next. Keep it here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA. Cheers.